Well, good morning, Emmanuel. And what a morning. For some of you, today is going to be a day that you'll never forget. So that's why I've called my talk this morning, What Will You Remember? I want to talk to you today about how the waters of baptism are a place you can remember and a place you can forget. Some of us already feel like we'll never forget today, but for those of you for whom this is just another Sunday, hopefully you'll realise that you too have something important to remember today and be able to answer that question, what will you remember? Now, along the way, we're going to answer three other questions to answer this. What is baptism? Why do we baptise people? And why is it an important part of our community life together? So that's where we're headed together this morning. Memory can be elusive, can't it? Scientists only now are starting to understand more about how memory works in the brain, and there's much that isn't understood. Memory can be perplexing. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I find I forget things I need to remember, and I remember things I wish I could forget. But baptism is a place you can remember and forget. Now, I used to have a great memory. I was a teacher for 7 years, and during that time, I never lost a child's book. I know, what a boast. There'd be many times I'd take in a set of books to Mark, and I'd find that a child had not handed their homework in, and I'd challenge the child about it to be confronted with that favourite knee-jerk reaction of, it wasn't me, you lost my book. Memory for me in those days was like rewinding a videotape, watching everything I'd done in reverse, so I could say with confidence, no, I have not lost your book. But as I get older, I find the videotape of my memory has got stretched and worn like those tapes we recorded over too many times that you'd rewind to find just big black and grainy patches where there's just a blank. And I suppose the modern equivalent would be finding that a file on your computer was corrupted. Nowadays, I find I need other ways of remembering things. Have you got ways that you like to remember things? My nana used to tell me to tie a knot in my handkerchief, and I used to think, why on earth? But actually, I quite like to put something familiar out of place, like leaving a chair in the middle of the room or a pair of shoes in the middle of the floor, because that helps me to remember things. If I put something out of place, I stumble over it the next day and I'm forced to think, what on earth is that doing there? And then hopefully I remember why. Hopefully. Baptism is a place you can remember and forget. Life is long and we forget things, even really important things that we think we'll never forget easily. And I would like to suggest that baptism is the equivalent to planting a large rock in the middle of your life, like me putting the shoes in the middle of the floor or the chair out of place. You just won't be able to ignore today. As you look back down the years, this day will stick out and you'll be forced to remember why you did this and what it meant. So this morning I'll be looking at what baptism is and how baptism is symbolic and a great aid to our memories on life's long road about what is important. But first things first, I want to look at the real reasons we baptise people. Baptism is richly symbolic, and we could baptise people just because we love the idea of baptism, which we do, but that's not the primary reason that we do it. First and foremost, baptism is a command of Scripture. In the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, which Ali reminded us about last week, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And Peter tells believers at Pentecost, when they are cut to the heart by his message, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And this is always what the disciples tell people as they respond to the good news of Jesus. We need to see in this that there is a command to be baptized, and also for us as a church to baptize people, that we're all fulfilling a command of Scripture here today, not just those people being baptized. Notice it's not a command that is given only to church leaders, but to all followers of Jesus, which is something I think Alan was probably quite relieved about when I told him that I wanted to be baptised in the River Brownie in the middle of February. Those people baptising people here today are following through on a command of Scripture, just as those who are baptised are. Baptism, following acceptance of who Jesus is and what he did, is repeated again and again as the biblical pattern, and there is not usually a delay. I said that baptism is like putting a rock in the path of your life. Baptism is a kind of Ebenezer of decision. In the Old Testament, God's people often set up special remembrance stones to remember what God had done for them, as sort of milestones on their journey. Baptism is a public declaration of your faith in Jesus and your intention to follow him. It is like a milestone in your life, where from now on, everything that happens to you will fall either side of that stone before you were baptized and after. As you look back or forward in your life, it is a marker, a memory stone for you to trip over if you are forgetting about Jesus, or if you are remembering, it's a stone to jump off and to launch forward. It represents a new start for you and an end to the old ways. It just makes sense to do it as close to your realization and acceptance of the new life that Jesus brings you as possible. So we baptize people and are baptized because we are commanded to by Scripture, because we see it repeatedly modeled by Scripture, but perhaps most importantly, because Jesus himself was baptized and he should always be our first example. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." We are those who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. Amazing. We are people who have received a transformational revelation of who Jesus is. And that encounter with God changes us. And we, by the power of the Spirit, continue to be transformed into his likeness. Jesus was baptized, and to be baptized, we are following the example of Jesus and being transformed into his likeness. In Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism, John initially says, "Surely you should be baptizing me?" But Jesus says, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased." In this, I think we see the obedience and submission of Jesus to the will of the Father in being baptized, as well as the blessing and the favor that comes from that. Jesus obviously didn't need to be baptized out of repentance, but he does so out of obedience to the will of the Father. There are many good reasons you could choose for being baptized, but if this is your only one, then submission to the will of the Father is a good reason, modeled by Jesus. Jesus' baptism marked the start of his ministry, so for him too, that obedience and submission to the Father in baptism made it a stone to jump off, a launch pad for his ministry and mission. So we've looked at why we baptize people and have touched a bit on what baptism is, but now I want to look more at that second question: what is baptism? Baptism is a place you can remember things. I've used the word Ebenezer, calling baptism a memory stone, and that might seem a little bit strange to us, but Ebenezer just means up to here, the Lord has helped us. So how are we saying through baptism, up to here, the Lord has helped us? And I'd like to look at Romans 6, verses 3 to 11, to shed light on that. "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. In this passage, we can see that baptism is the outward dramatic reenactment of the inner transformation that happens when we understand and accept what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Baptism is about identification with Jesus in his death on the cross. Baptism is about realizing and reenacting that when Christ died on the cross, it was to take our place, to die the death that we deserve from a holy God for the wrong things that we do. He was the Son of God, but he was brutally punished in order to restore our right relationship with our Creator God. Sovereign God let himself be overwhelmed by death on the cross, as we are literally overwhelmed by the waters of baptism, but defeated sin and death by rising to new life. In baptism, we remember that our old self, ruled by sin, dies through Christ's death, is crucified with him. But just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too are raised to new life. We are united with him, both in his death and in his resurrection. And what really dies and is buried in baptism is death itself and all that is the product of sin and death in our lives. And what we rise from the waters into is glorious, new, eternal life, ruling and reigning with him, free from sin. Baptism is about identification, and that's why we ask people to profess their faith before they're baptized, to identify. If you can't identify with Christ's death, then baptism is not for you, which is why we don't baptize tiny children too young to understand and identify. Christ came to completely identify with us. He lived a human life, wore our team strip, if you like, walked a mile in our shoes, died in our place, was the perfect substitution for us. But in baptism, we are united with him. Our whole identity changes, and he removes from us the filthy rags of our own team strip, our human sin and its effects, and gives us his own team shirt, hard won from his own back, and with it, all the power, position, and status that comes from the victory that he has won. We get the credit for his goals, if you like. When we rise to live with him. But we are not like a football superfan cheering in the stadium, wearing the team colours, but admiring from afar. We are on the pitch. We are so closely identified, living with him, that Jesus tells us in John 14, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Church is not a spectacle. It's not a piece of theatre to admire from afar. Jesus has given us a new team strip, and he has put us on the pitch. It is our turn now to play the game that he has taught us, and he is passing us the ball. Such a privilege to be allowed to join in with his purposes. So baptism is an act of recalling and demonstrating that we are identified with Christ. I asked you earlier, how do you remember things? God knows that we, like the Israelites who kept wandering off to worship other gods, have short memories. I believe there's a biblical precedent for dynamic and dramatic reenactments to help us to remember things. Now, one thing baptism isn't is a religious ritual. We don't believe in religious rituals, but we do most definitely believe in biblically ordained dramatic reenactments. And baptism is one such dramatic reenactment. I think that God has a history of teaching his people through dramatic reenactment of a spiritual reality, starting with the law. We tend to think of the Old Testament law with its rituals and sacrifices as reflecting a God of judgment sometimes, but just as much it reflects a God of grace. The law was the provision of a God of grace to enable an unholy people to draw near to a holy God. In the Old Testament, the Israelites had to literally heap their sins onto the heads of the sacrificial animals and slaughter them because they needed a physical reminder that the consequences of their sin is death. It was a dramatic reenactment of the effect of their sin. Now, God did not need the deaths of the sheep and the goats any more than if my children misbehave, I need for them to spend however many minutes on the naughty spot or to miss however many hours of TV that week. The punishment is not about my need for justice, but about their need to understand that their actions have consequences, to protect them from future worst consequences of their actions. Fast forward to the New Testament. God knew that his people had some idea of what he is like through the law and the prophets, but he longs for relationship with his people. So he doesn't just settle for us understanding about himself. He doesn't just tell us about himself through his word in the law and the prophets. He sends us the word incarnate in Jesus. John's gospel says, "The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us in Jesus." He shows rather than tells us what he is like. And Jesus is the ultimate dramatic reenactment of all that God the Father has already told and demonstrated of himself. Now, there's not many spiritual ceremonies that we are commanded to do, but baptism is one and the Lord's Supper is another. We're told to eat the bread and wine in remembrance of him, and that too is a dramatic reenactment to help us to remember what Jesus has done for us. So God knows we tend to forget things, and we remember by seeing and doing. My title is What Will You Remember? And we've looked at how in baptism we remember to identify with Christ, to be united with him. We've looked at how baptism is a dramatic reenactment that helps us to remember. But baptism is a place to forget too. Now, this does look like a big bath, but it is actually a bucket of forgetfulness. In baptism, our old life and our past sins, which are dead when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, are buried. Baptism is a place we can leave the past behind us, let it sink to the bottom, be buried, and move on. Now, when I've been praying about today, I've felt one thing that God has been saying is that we can forget the fingerprints. I believe there are people here today who feel marked by the fingerprints of others. I think there are people who've experienced physical touch that's been painful or unwelcome to them, that they feel has marked them. And I feel there's another group of people who feel like you've been manipulated in the past by people that you've been bent out of shape and marked by fingerprints of others. But God says you can forget the fingerprints and you can leave them at the bottom of that pool. Baptism symbolises the dying of our old life, but it symbolises the other sort of dying as well. The New Testament verb for baptism, baptizo, literally means to plunge, to sink, to drench. And it was often used for dyeing cloth as well. When you are plunged in baptism, it was more than a wash. It is like you are dyed white with the totally invasive purity of new life that is your gift in Jesus. And this word gives us a clue about what is meant in the Bible by baptism too. We believe that biblical baptism means by full immersion, as you have seen here today. There was a perfectly good Greek word for sprinkling with water, such as an infant christening nowadays, rantizo, and that is not used in the Bible to describe baptism. Sprinkling with water is not baptism, just as my children's hit-and-run approach to tap water is not really what I call washing your hands. It is just not the same thing at all. Being dyed is more than being coloured in or painted over. Now, yesterday, some of us, including me, were involved with Colorama, the sponsored walk in aid of powder paint in aid of, with powder paint in aid of St Cuthbert's Hospice. We certainly did get pretty well painted over yesterday. Now, this kind of dyeing washes off, thankfully, but the brilliant white that you are dyed with in baptism, the holiness of new life that you are given, does not get dirty again. When something is dyed, now I am no chemist, but I can see that there's some kind of exchange that takes place between the dye and the fabric that means that the two are now one. And this is what happens when we accept Jesus is now in charge of our life, that we are united with Christ. We make a spiritual exchange with God, that we hand him control of our life, and in return we receive eternal life. And God's Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, and we become one with Christ as the dye and the fabric are one. Christ's sacrifice was once and for all for the forgiveness of sins, and we do still need to keep short accounts with God, but now it is like we are Teflon coated. We are no longer slaves to sin, as Romans 6 says, and death no longer has mastery over us. In other words, the muck just can't stick anymore. I think that God wants to speak to some people this morning who've already been baptized from this passage today and would highlight the phrase, count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God to us. I felt this week that there are some people here, you've been baptized and you're watching today and you envy the people being baptized. You envy their cast iron certainties and their clean slate because you feel that you once knew that, but now you feel that you are far from white. God says to you that you are adding it up wrong. You need to stop waiting for God to come and change things for you. He's already done it. You've repented. He's forgiven you. He's equipped you. You need to count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God and realize that whatever the sum of your guilt is, the answer is always but Jesus. And if like me, your spiritual maths can be a little bit dodgy and you need a bit of help with this, then please come forward at the end and we'd like to pray with you about that. So in baptism, we symbolically die and are dyed, and in doing this, we can forget the past. Sometimes there are things that we wish we could forget. But sometimes God wants to forget too. He wants to scrub everything out and start again. Water in the Bible is often synonymous with judgment, with God deciding to draw a line under things, to swamp, to overwhelm, to bring to an end. And we see this in the story of Noah and the flood, which 1 Peter relates to baptism, and with Moses escaping from the Egyptians across the Red Sea, and also with the story of Jonah. And one of the connotations of baptizo is to overwhelm, to go under, to shipwreck even. And there is a sense that the waters of baptism are symbolic of the all-invasive nature of God's judgment. You know, sometimes you've just got to know when you're beaten. When these people came up out of the water today, not one little bit of them was dry, because not one little bit of their old life is still alive. Not one little bit of their old sin left standing to be counted. And because not one little bit of them can escape the all-pervasive depths of scrutiny and purging of the judgment of a holy and righteous God. When you lean back in baptism, it's like that trust game that you can play when you fall backwards and you trust that the person behind you will catch you. The truth is that in accepting Jesus as our Saviour, accepting that he died to take the blame for all the times when we pull in our own direction and not God's, we are leaning back into Jesus as the people here today trusted those baptising them to bring them back up again. We are saying that we know that one day we will all come face to face with the otherness of God. with the holy, glowing statement of being, righteous reality that is Yahweh, I am, and that we will all be swamped, engulfed, shipwrecked. And that on that day, the only one that can bring us through into life is Christ and being united with him. The only one who could survive the judgment of death because he was the perfect, sinless sacrifice. In baptism, we are totally overwhelmed by the judgment brought on us by our past sin and by the saving grace and provision of Jesus. In baptism, we remember to depend on him. One thing that is true, when we have a need, the only right relationship to have with somebody dependable is to depend upon them. And we have a need, but God is dependable. He puts dependability right at the heart of his nature, in his very name. He is Yahweh, I am. Wherever you have been, whatever has happened to you, he is I am. Wherever you are, whatever you need, he is I am, and he is there to meet that need. Whatever the future holds for you, he is I am, and he will be there. Faithfulness and dependability are who he is. And baptism is a dramatic reenactment of this right relationship with God that we have come into. Praise God. Baptism is a place you can remember and forget. What will you remember? We've looked at what baptism is and why we baptize people, and now I want to look at my final question. Why is it an important part of our community life together? In the Bible, we see that baptism happens in community, which is something that Ali touched on last week. It's not an isolated, private, spiritual experience. It happens publicly. And after people are baptized in the Bible, we read phrases like, however many were added to their number, or we hear of how the apostles stayed with them for a few days, or what their community life together was like. In baptism, the individual identifies with Christ, but we, the family of the church, identify with you. Many of us today are remembering our own baptisms, our own Ebenezers of decision. And today we recognise that you are now in Christ. Romans 6 speaks about being baptised into Christ, into his death. But the phrase being in Christ, or to put on Christ, is repeated a lot in the New Testament to describe the way we are now united with Christ and share in his victory, rather, as I spoke of us, having changed our team strip. Baptism is an important part of our community life here together and is a prerequisite of becoming a member here, because we know that the thing that defines us as a church and family is identifying with Christ's death and resurrection. We don't come together because we are all like each other. The only footing we come together on is dependence on Christ. There's no citizenship test for the kingdom of heaven. It's being in Christ that unites us. You know, we must each die to our old self individually, but we live corporately. You die alone, but you're raised into a family. And in baptizing people together in community, we're remembering that. So for those of us here today who've already been baptized, do you remember that dependence on Jesus and identification with him is what defines us? Do you remember that you were never meant to walk this Christian life alone? John Piper speaks about needing to be an oxygen believer in God. Now, the air we breathe is made up of roughly 80% nitrogen and only 20% oxygen. Now, we have a pretty close relationship with nitrogen, breathing it in and out of our lungs all day. And asked if we believed in nitrogen, most of us would probably say yes. But we're unaffected. Experienced Western Christians can be in danger of becoming nitrogen believers in God. He is pretty close to us, but we are unaffected. Oxygen, on the other hand, which we also believe in, is a different matter. And even a few minutes without it would remind us of just how much we need it. To be a disciple is to be an oxygen believer. To know that without him, we would be as lifeless as someone drowning at the bottom of that pool. Jesus is our oxygen. We reach for him as a drowning person reaches for an air tank. But as time goes on, let us not be too quick to learn to swim without him. If you don't daily depend on God, are you really walking in this right relationship with him as dramatically reenacted in baptism? Because God finds ways of reminding us to depend on him, and it is not always comfortable. But he disciplines those he loves. So what will you remember today? For those of you being baptized today, I would say you have started as you mean to go on, identifying with Christ and being dependent upon him. This is a memory stone for you, a gravestone even of your old life, a stone to jump off, a launch pad for you into all that God has for your new life. Remember to forget. Remember to forget the old life and the past condemnations that lie dead at the bottom of that pool. To those of you that have already been baptized, remember to remember. Those people baptized today have started as they mean to go on, but we need to go on as we started, renouncing sin and claiming the dyed whiteness of his grace, dependent on the oxygen of Jesus for all we do, and remaining in Christ, not admiring from afar, but playing on the pitch. And to those people who aren't baptized today, I would say, remember this and forget all that. God is at work today to rescue and to save, to free us from the past and all past hurtful memories. Today, why not receive the grace that is the provision of baptism for you? This powerful symbol and dramatic reenactment. You don't need to worry about dry clothes. We can sort out all the practicalities of that. And you too could set up today your own Ebenezer of decision and know a new confidence in your salvation and freedom from the past. Today, you have the chance to take one more step of obedience in your walk with Jesus, being transformed into the image of Christ. So I'd like to invite the music group to come back up now, and we've got our final song to sing. But as we sing this song, I'd just like us to think about, what will you remember today? What's God impressing on your heart?